world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, yeah, running a little bit late here. Technical difficulties. Yes. I got a great show planned today. And my computer won't behave. I'm down in my multi-million dollar studio with my green screen behind me. While we're doing this, we're trying to get it up and running. We're running a little bit late, but it's all good. We're going to take communion here in a second. Joe's going to lead us in communion. We're going to do a prayer, our daily prayer against the wicked forces here. Not the Ides of March. I'm pretty much like the Ides of March. And again, I'm sorry to lean forward. I'm on my phone. I'm trying to get a good angle. They can see my fake green screen behind me. And if I get my computer up and running here in a second, you'll soon see a football stadium behind me. But we don't have that yet. And I got some good stuff, man, to talk about today. So we're gonna get rolling on it. So two things we got to do. Joe's going to lead us in communion. And then Ray's going to lead us in our prayer against the forces of darkness in the times in which we find ourselves right now. And in the meantime, I'm going to be messing around with my computer, trying to get the thing up and running. So, Joe, come on in, brother. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for giving us breath in our lungs and toenails and fingernails and nose hairs and everything that you put inside of us and that would function properly today, Lord. We thank you for your healing powers. And you said healing is the children's bread. So people out there are dealing with different injuries, different things in their bodies. Lord, we just ask that you would restore them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joe, I'm going to serve it to you, bud, while I continue to work my technology here behind the scenes. I don't know if I'm even coming across my... One of the things I do is I don't even turn my computer off, so I don't have to go through this. I don't even turn it off. And then this morning, I have no internet access. So what does that tell you? I can get it on my phone, but I can't get it on my home internet. Crazy. Go ahead, Joe. Bless you.
Thank you, Coach. Here we go. It's coming. Okay. Here we go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Mm.
I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Mm.
Producer, if you could. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
That's pretty clear, man. That's pretty clear.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my
flesh. Are there any conditions to that? As you're reading that right there, are there any conditions to that, Joe? Read that scripture again, because again, I'm on my phone. Sorry, folks, my computer still won't boot up. Read that again, Joe. That sentence you just read.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Are there, Joe, conditions there?
Are there any conditions
only
there,
that
Joe?
That you do this, Coach. You know, you have to do what he said. And they didn't understand the symbology in communion because it hadn't happened yet, but he was definitely not religious. Christ was totally radical. And this is what took his mega church down to a small Bible study about overnight.
That's right. Good line. He had a mega church. Yeah. He had a mega church and he told him they're going to have to eat his body and drink his blood. And it says in there someplace along the line, a lot of them didn't follow him anymore.
Because it was probably 20, 25,000 people because they only counted the men.
Yeah. Yeah.
5,000 men, with wives and kids, is because they didn't have babysitters, you know.
Right. Wow. Yes, sir.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live in me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again with gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts, grateful that our lungs are full and our hearts are beating and that we're able to meet here together, this very unconventional church of brothers and sisters around this great country and sometimes in other countries abroad. And we, Lord, are grateful, so grateful for worshiping the only true God, the God that gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. And we're reminded by what we just read this morning, Lord, we're reminded that this small symbolic act of communion has life-changing effects on our souls and on us, and that we are promised salvation and escaping the enemy's trap by this act that we're about to do of communion. And we also understand, Lord, that this can be the meal that heals. And so we pray that if anybody has something needing healing with their body or is undergoing surgery, as one of our brothers is, or has something attacking their spirit and needs deliverance, that this meal can heal them, Lord. So we ask that their faith be focused and they accept this and receive the healings. And we ask that our combined faith can help with healing be received here on those who need it and are listening to this either now or recorded. And Lord, we ask that you guide our footsteps and help us take captive our thoughts this week, today, and this weekend. And let only those thoughts take root that serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And in gratitude, we also ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins and transgressions and bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come into your sight cleansed as we take this communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for doing all
Thank
that.
Thank you, Coach.
Oh, man, I mean, you know, one of the places I'm going to try to get today, appreciate Joe again getting up that early. Boy, I got the devil's doing it. I hate to talk that way because we like to use that excuse all the time. But man, I really got some stuff I really want to share today. And man, Lord, let this thing get working here for us. Would you do that for us, Lord? We speak against all the principalities and powers. Jesus Christ is the King of the kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we ask you to restore this. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mel or whoever, remember we're going to pray against the forces of darkness that began, was it yesterday? And you know, I'm kind of discombobulated. I've got it up on the screen. So Mel or Ray or whoever is going to do this, go ahead. We're going to pray this prayer against the forces of darkness. Go ahead, somebody, please.
Okay, I'll do it. It's a Passover prayer of remembrance and protection. We're doing this from April 19th to May 2nd. And here's the prayer we want you to all do. We praise and honor you, Lord Jesus. You are lifted up and sit on the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
As we approach Passover this year, we call upon your name to be honored and lifted up high. The beautiful story of God's redemption plan for mankind before the creation of the earth. As we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary during this year's upcoming Passover celebration, almost 2,000 years ago, we, as your body of believers, come and pray in unison, asking for your spirit to move mightily upon the earth from April 19th through May 2nd. We are in a precarious times as war looms over the Middle East and the lands of Israel. Confusion and conflict overwhelm the Holy Land at this time. The very Prince of Peace, you, Lord Jesus, are not positioned in the hearts and minds of world leaders across the earth. Yet, as stated in John chapter 1, 2-3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Psalm 2 also states, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Father, as you laugh and distress them in your deep displeasure, give your ecclesiastes the wisdom, the strength, and the courage and the boldness, empowerment of your Holy Spirit to be in one accord in prayer, but also in action in the days ahead into the month of May, as the enemy and the rulers of this world are brought to naught. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, and perfect sacrifice to bring mankind back into a relationship with you, our King, our hope, and our salvation. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Ray, for reading that. Thank you, Mel or Craig, whoever put that thing together. Appreciate that. Again, I'm a little bit discombobulated. Somebody explain to me how this works. I'm in my studio, on my phone, on my internet, and my computer says no internet connection. How does this work? I don't know. We're going to do the best we can here with it, though. Praise the Lord. Coach, what do you have to talk about? I'm trying to get to it here. Hang with me. Not connected. It's going to be connecting here in a minute, it says. All right, we'll see. Okay, so I'm trying to, I had some good videos and some good stuff for you to be able to read today. But if I can't get to it, I can't get to it. And so I'm struggling. Where's Rush Limbaugh when we need him? Where's Rush Limbaugh? So I'm going to open it up. Flea Flicker Friday till I get my internet back up and running. Anybody out there, throw something on the table. Let's go after it. By the way, I know. Somebody help me out here. Spencer, I sent you a link from Ray LeBlanc. Ray, I want you to talk about your natural family event that you guys have going up on there. By the way, don't forget Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live. Tomorrow night, live. Saturday night. Come and join us if you're anywhere close. Bring a friend. Bring somebody you're going to try to awaken a little bit. In fact, one of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow night is Saturday Night Live. And why, I'm sorry, is the Natural Family Month. It's a celebration of that. So Ray LeBlanc is already, look, tipping my cap, even though I can't get the internet going, tipping my cap to Ray and to all of you out there. That's one of the things that I love so much about our crew is you guys are doers. You guys are all doers. And so Ray, on his own initiative, has been working really hard with Neil Levy, who, by the way, is having knee surgery today, continue to putting his knee back together. Ray just grabbed the initiative and ran with it. And Ray, tell us a little bit about that story. You actually went to your mayor and made a presentation about it. Come on in, Ray. Fill us in on that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, I see you guys also put up a little email I put together this morning. It's a little bit sketchy yet. I'm in the process of formalizing it a little bit better. With Ross, it'll come together. Okay.
Yeah, explain to us what's going on, buddy.
Basically is, sure. I just took the initiative of the Natural Family that J.R. Harrison has been putting together and promoting. And, well, what is the Natural Family exactly? We get the idea and the concept, but we need to see it in the natural realm. And that's by bringing it out in the public arena and showing them what the natural family is. And by doing so, we're inviting the family to a park, and we're going to entertain them and educate them with hands-on projects for the children. They're so in debt this generation with cell phones and video games. We got pouches, leather pouches that Gary, one of our fellow followers, put together. He works in leather, so we're putting together a simple little leather pouch that the kids can put together, and for the girls, flower pot with show them how to put the dirt and make a flower and plant seeds and all that kind of thing. So we're gearing this to the family so that there it's an interaction with them, and on top of all that, we got a great musician coming in from the Mennonite family, a guy named Isaac. He is well known in the community. Every time he performs with his choir, they come out in droves. And so I presented some of these things to our mayor about a month ago, and she finally responded. And I tried to get her to make a proclamation similar to what JR had put together. And they're a little hesitant yet to do that because they're feeling us out. And so they're going to be watching what we're doing. But I did get Mayor Lois to come and do the opening ceremony. I call it a ceremony, but we're going to start at 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. And she's going to be the opener. So that'll be a drawing card, having the mayor there. And be a lot of advertising going on for that. Plus, city council members. There was Adam Fisher. He's well known in the he's going to come in and speak. He's also, he adopted 6 children, and some of them from other countries. So this is really family-oriented, showing the importance of adoption. And another city council member, he just got elected on the school board, actually, Stephen Kaiser, going to have him come. So the concept is to, and the fire department's coming out, is to get our community leaders involved in this, because they're the ones that can say, yeah, this is good. We're going to make a proclamation next year. This is what the way we want to go. So it's going to be all positive feedback. And the ironic thing about it, Dave, is I rented a park two blocks away from where the June Day event is going to take place on the same Saturday morning. So we're offering an alternative to draw the people away from that filth of the drag queens' performances and come to our event. So we're praying that the people will just say, I don't want, this here is a lot more wholesome, and this is where I'm going to be, and I don't want to be with this other.
Okay, Ray, so Ray, let me interrupt you a second. I'm starting to get some life here on my computer, I think. Hang on, we'll see. So Ray, here's what you did. Small town. What's the name of your town, Ray?
Marshfield, 20,000 people.
20,000 people in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And you came up with this initiative. You went to your mayor and said to your mayor, this is what we would like to do. And the mayor's reaction was what, Ray?
She said, Ray, this is a great idea. I'm really excited about it. But she was hesitant about, I asked her if she'd do a proclamation. She wanted to check. You know, they're afraid of legality and whatnot. But this is a stepping stone. I think I got the mayor to come out and do that. And I think after she sees that, how well this is all going to be carried out, that next year we'll probably get her to perform a proclamation like JR has put together. So,
awesome. Well, Ray, that shows us. Bear with me. I can see myself up on my screen. Finally, everything I've been doodling as you guys have been doing this. Folks, look, this shows us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there I am. You hear me? Yeah, you can hear me.
Yep.
So this shows where we are, folks. And this is one of the things, man, I'm alive again. Thanks. I'll quit. Sorry for the crappy beginning. I've been stressed here for about the last 15 minutes, 24 minutes. Look. Here's the mentality we have to overcome. When we, by the way, brilliant by JR. And JR, if you're out there listening, you want to pipe in on this. It's brilliant because why? You see that folks, they just don't want their place at the table. They want the table. You understand that?
Yeah.
They've been crying discrimination, hate. Well, I'm feeling good again, huh? That's what they've been screaming at us. Hate monger, homophobe, big, and blah, blah, blah. And then we come along and say, hey, could we, we'd like to have our own month. And what do they say? Oh, no. Our leaders, see, our Christian leaders, our community leaders, they're afraid. Isn't that what Ray, isn't she somewhat hesitant because she's afraid of the pushback they might get for simply being diverse, tolerant of the natural family?
Yes, you're right. And I was received some counseling about not making this overwhelmingly Christian with Bible churches and turn or burn signs. But that'll be the undercurrent that it just goes hand in hand. The natural family. We're mother, father.
Just a celebration of the natural family, right?
Yeah, right. And with Jason Stubbs coming as the main speaker, Operation Save America will have also a table on preventive measures. You don't need to go for abortion. We're going to have about 20, 30 tables set up, and financial table of somebody that wants to get involved that has something to offer to the community. You can take this all. Also, Dave, a good thing is, JR and Rob Pugh are going to go on BCY America, and they're going to hit 50 million people nationwide with their radio broadcast and promote this whole idea. So this is kind of like a pilot, you know, we're praying that everybody across the land, anybody can do this. It doesn't have to be on a great, grandest scale. It could be just a small pocket of whatever, but start.
So let me interrupt because it's what I do for a living. When you approach the mayor
What did you ask the mayor to do? Did you ask the mayor to make a proclamation? What was your initial approach? Because folks, listen, we can all do this, especially in small towns. No, I'm not going to go to Columbus and try to get the governor to declare it. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, I can start in Hebron. I can start in Thornville to get the city council locally to declare it Natural Family Month. So, Ray, what was her reaction? What did you ask the mayor to do?
Well, I presented her with the JR sign, with the Natural Family sign, and showed her this is our objective, is to just have a celebration of the natural family. We do it for everybody else, you know. When she was hesitant, I said, well, you do it for the gay event the whole month of June. We're just asking for a little recognition as well. And so...
Hey, Ray, that sounds like a lawsuit to me. That sounds like a lawsuit to me, folks, huh? I believe that'd be discrimination, wouldn't it?
Well, you know how she answered me? I wrote her, because she was sensitive and responding, I wrote her back exactly that. And I said, you know, this sounds to me like, you know, you're not responding back. This sounds like a little bit of reverse discrimination.
There you go, baby.
And I really don't want to have to go down the road and hire, and I listed a contact of the lawyers that would that involved directly in this kind of discrimination. And I thought she was going to like brush me off, and she called me right on the phone the next day after she got that email. And she said, Ray, this is great. I'm really behind you. I love what you guys are doing. So I said, well, that's good. So I said, well, can you do it? She said, I can't do a proclamation. But I said, well, will you come to our event and speak? She, I can do that. I said, okay, cool.
Ray, why can't she do a proclamation?
I don't know. I think there. I showed
her that
proclamation that JR made. And, yeah, and she's seen
it.
She
can do it, right?
She could have done it. She has the power. So, I think they're just testing the waters a little bit, you know, and they want to make sure this is.
Well, you know what we need to do, Ray?
They want to see us in action, you know.
Folks, here's what some of us need to do. We need to get a hold of our lawyer, Roger Weaver, or get a hold of our lawyers, wherever, Michigan, wherever they might be, and have our lawyers make a call. Say, wait a minute. Are you discriminating? Gee, we would hate to have to sue you, Mayor. You're discriminating? You're going to give us a Gay Pride Month, but you're not going to give us a Natural Family Month? Really? See, folks, we live in a culture and a society. Jay, I'm going to get you in here in a second. And I see the hands up. Now everything's working here again. See, it's called the tyranny of the minority. The tyranny of the minority. That's the country that we now live in. The most freakish, outlandish minority gets recognized and honored, right? And all we're asking is, somebody help me out here. You think those old good old boys that down there with no teeth down in West Virginia, you think they support the natural family? They're not believers. They're not believers in Christ. Do you think they want their daughter being homecoming king? Huh? Do you think they want their son marrying another man? You think they want that? This is an absolute no lose. This is a no lose, man. And all it is honoring, dare I say it, the majority. And at what point did we decide that only minorities get to be honored? Only the minorities get to. It's part of the assault and the attack that we see on America.
Boom.
Come on in, JR.
Sorry, brother. I had a little rough night last night.
Me too. Well, I had a rough morning, so we're equal here.
So I just got in here. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Ray and all the other people that have been working.
And Neil Levy, who's having surgery today. Yep. Neil's really jumped in board on this, right?
Jack has jumped into this thing, and he's going crazy over in Maine. This is a coach that I think the beauty of this is that we are lighting a candle instead of cursing the darkness, which we always do.
Yep.
It's complaining. We put our adversary in a position where we're always in. We always have to, well, we don't like this, we don't like that. Well, guess what? This is out there, and pick it and join the club.
Right.
That's the purpose is, is to try to get this turned around in America. This, what we're doing, Coach, is just absolutely, positively insane. What we're doing to our kids, what we're doing to our families, and we need to do something to try to bring them back. This isn't the cure-all and be-all, but boy, it sure is going to help.
It's a start.
Yeah, it's a good start.
It's a start, right?
Yep.
And I think, for lack of a better term, we're going to have to learn how to fight more militantly. Hang on a minute. Spencer, everybody just got nervous. Go to Webster's. What is militant? Militant. Not guns. Not guns. Not bombs. Not tanks. Militant. Fighting. Combating. Serving as a soldier. How about this? From Webster in 18, whenever this was. The church militant is the Christian church on earth, which is supposed to be engaged in a constant warfare against its enemies, thus distinguished from the church triumphant or the church in heaven. Is that unbelievable? So we ought to be saying, yes, we are the church militant. We absolutely are. We're fighting to advance the kingdom of God here on earth against the forces of darkness. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down the strongholds. See, that's what J6 is all about, wasn't it? By the way, I watched that video yesterday. When I my brain, it didn't kick in there. It's good, man. It's good. All right, JR, Ray, anything else on this issue now that I'm up and running here half three quarters of the way through the show? Anything to add to it? No, again, Saturday Night Live, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow. I probably have some signs, although I just ordered a bunch of signs from Neil. They probably will not be ready tomorrow night.
I'll bring a few, Coach, and some shirts.
Okay.
Again, the yellow signs stand out. You can't miss them. I'm going to get some buttons, some like campaign buttons, some lapel buttons as well. Because you're a coach, and you've got a football team. And I want to do an analogy with the church. You've got a football team. You're a coach. You go into the locker room at halftime, and you're down 20 points. And what you do is you get your boys together, and you go. Hopefully, they're boys. You get your boys together and you say, okay, guys, I want you to relax. I want you to get into the sauna. I just want you to start feeling good about yourself now.
Yeah. You're letting that other team win. They're doing really
good. That's okay. That's okay because we're supposed to lose. So don't feel bad about this.
Yeah.
I mean,
we lose Jesus, in the end. We win in the end.
Yeah. So when you get out on that field, don't expect to win, but don't offend anybody. And have a great time, guys. Pat them on the back and send them out back into the game. Right? Yeah. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah. Don't you dare tackle anybody. Don't you dare.
If you do, not with a smile.
Yeah. Amen. All right. I'm getting my feet under me here a little bit now. Again, Saturday Night Live. Throw that back up there, Spence, if you would. Now that make sure we covered. Also, this next week. Now listen to me. Next week, Operation Save America, Jason Storms and the crew are going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio for 4 days doing street ministry. Now, if you've never done that kind of stuff, contact me. I'll get you some information. I'm going to try to go down for a couple of days next week, although I've got a crazy week. Next weekend, we're going to go be with Pastor Dale Socia down there. Looking really forward to that. So we're going to try to get it in there. Saturday Night Live is the Saturday night coming up. Bring a friend, right? Bring a friend. And let's see, the Deborah Reyes and Live OSA Operation Save America. That's where I cut my teeth on street ministry. There'll be a good slew of people down in Cincinnati on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think that's when it is. I'll get more information first of the week. Pull up for me abortion deaths. We don't care, right? Huh? Jesus is coming soon. Y'all watching what's going on in Israel? Jesus is certainly coming. Just look at Israel. Yeah, it's Jesus is coming. You guys looking over there at Israel? Boy, Jesus is coming. Meanwhile, they're slaughtering babies. Stunner. In fourth place among America's leading cause of death. Huh? What is? Well, scroll on down. Right, freeze right there. Leading player in the National's lucrative abortion and lucrative. It's about money. Always follow the money. Said in its annual 2022-23 report, Planned Parenthood released their yearly report, and they ended the lives of 393,000
American human beings. 393,000 babies just at Planned Parenthood last year. And SBA Pro-Life America President Marjorie Dannenfelser quickly pointed out the unwelcome significance of that figure. You see, Planned Parenthood's business is abortion, even though, friends, there's no constitutional right to it. Abortion, abortion, more abortion. Their annual report shocks the conscience, showing that they ended nearly 393,000 American lives in a single year. This puts abortions performed by Planned Parenthood in the top four leading causes of death in the United States. See, folks, listen to me. We have got to stop repeating untrue facts. Ready? Number one cause of death, heart disease. Number two, cancer. Number three, COVID. COVID didn't kill people.
Boom.
We got to stop it. Although a lot of people died from the treatment of COVID or the jabs or whatever you want to, third, but they didn't die from COVID. They died with COVID. Once again, pregnant women walk into Planned Parenthood and they're sold abortion 97% of the time rather than help to keep the child or make an adoption plan. Meanwhile, they saw 83,000 fewer patients, provided 60,000 fewer pap tests and breast exams, and even gave out less contraception. Abortion is their business. Remember Gerber Food? Anybody remember Gerber Food's slogan? Come on, come on. Go back in the 60s in your head. Gerber Food. If I remember? I do. Babies are our business. Our only business. Anybody remember that to me? Huh? Gerber Foods. Babies are our business. Our only business. So Planned Parenthood should say, abortion is our business. Our only business. Paid for, by the way, with your tax dollars. And my tax dollars. Wow. I'm catching my stride. Oh, some of you got your hands up. Let me go over here. I'm sorry. I'm maybe not catching my stride that good. Okay, good. Go ahead, Jack. Come on in.
Yeah, just we need to thank Hal Sertliff, because that ripple effect from Sertliff versus City of Boston is the perfect fit for the Natural Family Month. Ray, before you go to see your mayor next time, make sure you have a copy of the ruling of Sertliff versus City of Boston.
Folks, meaning this. Meaning this.
We're not telling you got to take down your gay flyer. We're not telling you have to take down that picture. But if you're going to put that up, you're going to put up one of these signs. Thank you very much.
Folks,
we got them. This is perfect.
The Supreme Court ruled that if you put up a gay flag, you have to put up a Christian flag. The Supreme Court has already ruled that. So if your local government is going to say that it's Gay Pride Month, they have to say it's Natural Family Month. You get it? We got to start suing some folks. Randy.
Yeah, church has been pretty ignorant coach. Yep. You know, we don't know what we have, the power we have. But, Coach, I just want to put an ad out here. We're going to hit three more courts Saturday. Two of our people right here in the queue this morning, Lynn Garner and Gene Schroeder, we're going out to Gene's out, Western Oklahoma, out there where his county. We're going to do three counties. There's about six of us going. So, Coach, we're going to have almost half of the state finished when we do that.
Unbelievable.
So we're going to get her done. But Coach, I want to say this. I want to say one thing here. We always heard that slogan, you know, prayer changes things.
Yeah.
That's only partly true, Coach.
Yeah.
Look, prayer changes us. We change things.
Action changes things, right?
What's Acts 1:8, Coach? Book of Acts 1:8.
Prayer changes us. We change things.
Well, so, and what did Jesus say? When the Holy Spirit comes on you will be my witness.
Wow. in Jerusalem.
We have missed it. We've missed it. We have so missed it, Coach. With all these years, the church has missed it.
Yep. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Hebron, in Oklahoma, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Maryland, in we will be his witnesses. Why? Because we're soldiers of the cross. I didn't even get the chance. I'm not going to do it right now. Spencer, maybe you can throw it up there real quick. This week's weekly word, I haven't even had a chance to read it. And I wrote on spiritual dementia. And it's exactly what we're talking about. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten who we serve. We have forgotten who the King of Kings is, man. We got spiritual dementia. The church does. The church. So we're doing it. What is it, Chad? Help me out, Chad. Picking up where the church left off. Saturday Night Live, we're picking up where the church left off. We're picking up the things the church don't want to touch. We're being the salt of the earth when the church wants to be the sugar. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're calling out righteousness when the church wants to accept it. Oh, I'm just telling you the truth. Just telling you the truth here. I'm not going to read that. Betty, come on in.
Well, I'm going to get off a little bit off topic.
Right.
But anyway, before April 19th of 22, I met a man named Coach Dave about three or four times at a We the People or God and Country. And I thought, well, COVID's happened and we've gotten your card. So it was on my dresser. So for about 2 or 3 weeks, I walked by that card and God said, take that card and try it. So one morning, I decided to try you out, which was April 19, 22. So anyway, I watched you and I thought, yeah, he's pretty good. Is he worth his salt? So we're going to see if he's worth his salt 2 days in a row. So I got up the next morning and I decided to check you out again and the crew of the Pass the Salt Ministry. And I thought, well, it is about time I found someone who knows how to speak the word, the truth, and is full of salt and keeps my attention, you know. So I want to thank you for changing my life for the better. I've learned so much from you in these 2 years than the 64 years before April of 22.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Pass the Salt Ministry because I love most of them. I appreciate that God gave you the gift of gab and shouting, wisdom and knowledge. So don't ever change. Because of that yelling, I decided to stay with you. It woke me up. And I also want to thank the Pass the Salt Ministry, you know, folks, because I've gotten fellowship. I've found like-minded people who love the Lord, who are warriors. And I tell you what, you have made me to be an action figure person instead of an NFL couch potato.
Amen.
So amen. I just want to say how much I appreciate you, Coach. And I love you, Michelle, your family, and most of the Pass the Salt Ministry. And I just wanted to say thank you for putting me on the straight and narrow. Thank you so much.
That's a tip of my cap. How to make that, turn that into a commercial, huh? It's the truth, though, isn't it? It's the truth.
It is.
I could go over and over. A lot of you could say the exact same thing.
Well, second anniversary to me.
Thanks, Betty. Who plugged in Craig Mickle? Who plugged in Randy? Who plugged in Clay? Who? Well, they plugged in, didn't they? You know what's amazing? They're like little bunnies, energizer bunnies, doing work all kinds. You can't rope Randy in. You can't rope Craig in. Try like a mighty. I can't rope those guys. You can't rope Jeff Klein in, no matter what. You can't do it. Why? Because, man, they got a spark of life in them. And they're running the race, baby. And they're running it hard. Well, some of us could get that commitment in us. Jeff Klein, then Roger.
Coach, you printed out JR's couple pages of information on the family situation. Took it into the mayor's office Monday morning. And as I took it in, it was amazing. The guy that's his secretary sitting there, and I wasn't going to ask him for my permit for the square like we did last summer. He holds that up and says, I seen you coming. He was looking out the window and seeing me parked out front. So he's handing me the permit, and I said, well, that ain't what I came for. This is what I came for, but I'll take that and get back with you on my dates for the square. So I handed him the information and wanted him to give it to the mayor. So the mayor's supposed to look it over. You know, I walked out and I'm like, what was that all about, Lord? They're handing me the permit for the square to fill out. I'm like, well, maybe I need to do the natural family thing, JR's Sundays, 4 weekends of that month. We'll just set up and do the mothers, the kids, the grandparents, the fathers. We'll do all 4 weekends up there, start it off with that. So, and I'll get JR to come up and kick it off on the first one.
And then you don't do it on Saturday or Sunday?
We'll just do Saturdays like always, one to three. Then the preachers can do Sunday. We'll do double whammy on the weekends.
Natural family. Amen. Good work, Jeff. Good work. Roger.
Oh, I was just going to let people know. I think JR is a good example for all of us when we do some things. He's been very consistent, laboring week in, week out on this project. And it takes that sometimes. So kudos to Jim for the consistent week in, week out. And it takes that time because I think now the Lord is giving him a little bit of roller coaster. Things are starting to move. So that's what it takes sometimes for many people in ministry, more so than what I'm doing, but just that's what it takes. The second thing is real quick, Dave, I believe at 5 to 10 years that there won't be a Planned Parenthood or whatever. You know, the abortion pill now is comprising about 70 to 75% of all abortions.
Yep, killing them by pills.
And I think as the technology moves forward in that area with the pill or whatever, I think you're going to see the location stuff going smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's just going to be you walk in and you don't need a prescription. You just walk in and get on the shelf and that's how you're going to kill the baby. And that seems to be, it does not seem to be stopping in that area. That's just how it's going to go.
Well, see, Roger, the excuse is and continues to be that it's not a child. It's not a child. With the technology that we have, folks, how does that lie even persist?
Yeah, but that's starting to come out because I think it was on Bill Maher's program. I think that's the guy. He made a comment the other night that, hey, I believe it's a child. I'm just okay with killing it.
Yeah, but that ought to be honest, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is starting to surface. Yep, it's a child, but I'm okay if we're going to kill it. That's what's starting to filter out in the public arena, I believe. Just, hey, we're not going to argue the child thing anymore. We're going to say, yep, it's a child, but we're okay with killing it.
That's exact, because that's the honesty of it, isn't it, Roger?
Well, I think that's what attracts some of us conservatives to Maher every once in a while, is he says something that makes sense.
Yeah, he just needs the Lord. Then he'd really start to make some sense, wouldn't he?
Amen.
That's a good, I didn't know he'd said that. That's good. That's good. Jack.
Yeah, there's so much that stupid pill. We're losing, the fertility rate is going down. It's not just that they're killing babies. Right. Women are losing their ability to produce babies. And their fertility, the fall of fertility is worldwide. There's if you search it, there's
it's headlines cursed, everywhere it's about curse. It. Not being able to reproduce is a curse, brother. And we're killing babies. It's a curse. It's a curse. Look, hey, I'm out of time. Vinny, go, Vinny.
Hey, I just wanted to follow up with Roger, great point, and Jack, awesome lead in. Guys, where did this whole thing originate? Birth control pills. Why? What's with the birth control pills? I believe the birth control pills' main purpose is to cause infertility. Thank you, Coach.
That's right. That's right. And that'll want to make laws say, listen, if you got pregnant and you weren't on the pill, you can't kill your baby, huh? No, because if you want to just go around and sleep around like a rabbit, then you got to take a pill, keep you from getting pregnant. You know, I'm not gonna let you kill your baby. Stop doing that. But they won't. I want to throw this in here real quickly because I want to end on kind of a positive note here because I only got 9 minutes left. Pull up for me number three. I love Bill Federer. Bill Federer. I had a great show today. I'll save it till Monday. I hate it when that happens. Pull that up, number nine. Bill Federer, Christian nationalism. Bill Federer, American Minute. You guys know how to get Bill on our show again. He says there's a controversial new label the mainstream media is using, Christian nationalism. What is it? To answer that, there are three points to consider. Number one, the first is that nationalism is the opposite of globalism. Number two, that nationalism depends on the nation. And three, the Christian nationalism used to be called Christian patriotism. And past presidents, Democrat and Republican, encouraged Christian patriotism. Let's look at the first point. Nationalism is the opposite of globalism. Did you know there are people called globalists who want to do away with nations and set up a one world government, which of course they will control? Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum produced an Agenda 230 video, which had the line, "You will own nothing and be happy." This is globalism, friends. Sounds a lot like Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto, when he said the theory of communism may be summed up in this single sentence, abolition of private property. Communism, all right? Abolition of private property means you will own nothing, which is exactly what the globalists and Klaus Schwab are telling us. How do globalists plan on getting you to give up your property and freedom? Well, they're going to do that through the Great Reset. Jack Posobiec of Human Events Daily stated on November 4th, 2022, the Great Reset is very much like communism. They tell you it's about diversity, equality, climate. But what they want is total control. They want total government. People will not give up their property and freedom if everything is fine. Oh, but if there's a crisis, they'll trade their freedom for security. The Great Reset has orchestrated global crisis to produce dependency on international government. Michael Rechtemwald wrote in Imprimis, which is Hillsdale College, what is the Great Reset in December 21st? He said this, Klaus Schwab and Theodore Mallaret write that if the past five centuries in Europe and America have taught us anything, it is that acute crisis contribute to boosting the power of the state. Create a crisis and the state fixes the problem. Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal, warned in a lecture at Stanford, the zeitgeist or mood on the other side is we are not going to make it from one century on this planet, and therefore we need to embrace a one-world totalitarian state right now. Whatever the dangers are in the future, we need to never underestimate the dangers of one-world totalitarian state. Thiel continued, 1 Thessalonians says the political slogan of the Antichrist is peace and safety. I want to suggest we would do well to be a little bit more scared of the Antichrist and a little less scared of the end times. Amen on that one. Preaching my song. In other words, don't be afraid of the world ending. Be afraid of the people who promised to save you from the world ending. Vinny, that's a boom.
Boom.
Henry Mencken wrote in Notebooks, the urge to save humanity is almost always only a false face for the urge to rule humanity. The second point is nationalism depends on the nation. Most nations have an honor shame culture where an individual's worth is based on the group they belong to. For example, ancient Egypt's social classes were Pharaoh's family on top. India's has a caste system. Imperial China has a family system. European classes divided royalty from peasantry. Islamic Ummah communities consider men worthy of more than women. Communist Party members are more worthy than common people. Atheistic utilitarianism gives more value to contributing to the state. You see this, folks? This is nothing new under the sun. The latest rendition of this intersectionality, where a person's worth is based on how many minority groups they belong to, with trans being superior to all others, resulting in those on the left wanting to impose a transgender nationalism. Well, that's good, isn't it? They want a transgender nationalism. Where nationalism is bad in totalitarian nations as they deny individual rights. In America, nationalism has been preserving a nation. Well, you have your worth regardless of what group you belong to. President Roosevelt said the belief in man created free in the mind of God is the crucial difference between ourselves and the enemies we face. Truman said the American people believe that all men are created equal because they're created in the image of God. Eisenhower said democracy is nothing in the world but spiritual conviction, that each of us is enormously valuable because of a certain standing before our own God. Lincoln said our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated the proposition all men are created and equal, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, govern other people by the people for the people, so not perish from the earth. Nationalism is bad in socialist and Islamic nations where governments do not guarantee to individuals inalienable rights. But in America, nationalism is supporting a nation whose purpose is guaranteed to each individual their God-given rights. Run out of time. These rights include freedom of conscience, religion, speech, press, assembly, self-defense, impartial trial, no cruel and unusual punishment, the freedom to determine your own destiny. And Eisenhower said the founding fathers recognized God as the author of individual rights, declaring that the purpose of government is to secure those rights. The third point to consider is Christian nationalism. It used to be called Christian patriotism. It was as American as apple pie, football. The word nationalism is not even in use in the Noah Webster dictionary. His 1928 dictionary said, patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. Love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institution in vigor purity. Past presidents, Democrat and Republican, encouraged Christian patriotism. Washington said, to distinguish the character of a patriot, it should be our highest glory to laud the more distinguished character of a Christian. Washington wrote, the general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. Lincoln said, when he freed his slaves, intelligence, patriotism, Christianity, and a firm reliance on him are still competent to adjust in the best way of all present difficulty. And Lincoln later on said, patriotism and Christianity right next to each other in his inaugural address. In post-Reconstruction, a Republican, Teddy Roosevelt said, as Bishop Charles Galloway of Mississippi said, the mob lynches a Negro. Every Christian patriot in America needs to lift up his voice in loud and eternal protest against that mob spirit. Howard Taft said, no man can study the movement of modern civilization and not realize that the spread Christianity is the basis of all modern civilization and the growth of popular self-government. The spirit of Christianity is pure democracy. It is equality of man before God, the equality of man before the law. President Roosevelt, we call our Christian civilization a Christian conception of justice. Our civilization can be saved only by becoming permeated with the spirit of Christ and being made free and happy by the practices which spring out of that spirit. Franklin Roosevelt, a Democrat, quoted the book of Psalms. And he said, the printing of the first English Bible is an event of great significance. We trace the widespread dissemination of these moral and spiritual precepts that have so greatly affected the progress of a Christian nation. Roosevelt said, preservation of these rights is virtually important, vitally important to the whole future of Christian civilization. And he said, the forces hate democracy and Christianity as two phases of the same civilization. They oppose democracy because it is Christian. They oppose Christianity because it's democracy. Today's mainstream media label Roosevelt a Christian nationalist. Truman said, this is a Christian nation. As a nation, Christian nation, our earnest desire is to work with men of goodwill everywhere to banish war. And he said, through Christ Jesus, the world will be a better and fairer place. Would today's national media call Truman Christian nationalist? Oh, it goes on and on. Gotta run. Have a great weekend. See you Saturday night. God bless America.